May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the opening verse of today's gospel reading, Jesus compares this generation, meaning his growing numbers of opponents, to fractious children who refuse to join in each other's games. One would not dance at a wedding, and another would not mourn at a funeral. They were obstinate, unlikable. In their opposition to John the Baptist and Jesus, they also are blind to the truth in front of them. The cousins are rejected no matter what they do. The Baptist comes neither eating or drinking, and critics charge him with being possessed by demons because of his ascetic lifestyle. On the other hand, when Jesus comes eating and drinking, critics charge him with being a glutton and a drunkard. Their opposition is total because their very existence is at stake. You see, a lie cannot withstand truth. The self-centered cannot abide the God-centered. One must drive out the other. The world has no leverage against the Baptist because the desert prophet asks nothing of the world and is loyal only to God. The world cannot tempt the Son of Man because he comes to serve, not to be served. Both will always be perceived as threats to the powers and principalities of this world, where the battle is joined. Darkness cannot abide light, so logically, both prophet and son must die. And they tried, God knows. Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate carried out the hits. Evil claimed victory. John was beheaded and Jesus crucified. Speaking truth to power in this world will always be dangerous, even fatal. If we had but man on our side, all would be lost. But thanks be to God, we have Jesus Christ the righteous, who rose from the dead on the third day to be our only mediator and advocate. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Jesus goes on to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to his Father in heaven. I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. For Matthew, these things are the mighty acts of Jesus and his healing works. The infants are the disciples of Jesus, you and me, who are given the Spirit in baptism to go and do likewise. By contrast, those who accrue authority and learning in this world often tend to trust in their own experience and preconceptions and distrust the works of Jesus. It is not so much that the works themselves have been hidden, but rather their source and significance. God is the source, yet man in his pride is blind to the light. The significance of the works of the Son lie not in the works themselves, but in their revelation of the Father's will. The humble of spirit are more open to receiving knowledge of God's loving purpose. What really promotes closeness to God the Father and God the Son is not the world's exclusive attainment of power, education, or social status, but rather the inclusive spiritual gifts of belief, trust, and commitment to Jesus, freely given by a loving Father and accessible to all God's children. In today's gospel, Jesus extends a wide open invitation to all of us, really the mother of all invitations. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Heck, that's all of us. A new beginning. His words are eerily reminiscent of the words of Emma Lazarus, found on the plaque on Lady Liberty in New York Harbor. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. As an immigrant nation, that's all of us too. America's a place of new beginnings. That is its magical appeal. But the boundaries of Jesus are infinitely broader than national boundaries. And his promise of freedom is eternal. No questions, no restrictions, no quotas, except that you be weary and heavy laden. If you have a burden and a desire to lay it down, you get an invitation. Again, that's all of us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus to his little ones. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But just about now, our jaded inner self begins to squirm. What's the catch? His invitation suddenly seems too simple, too free to accept. What's this Jesus talk about being yoked? In farm parlance, a yoke is an implement put around the necks of oxen, so they will pull a plow in tandem. It doesn't sound easy. It sounds like being forced to submit to something hard. It sounds enslaved. And anyway, isn't this Jesus, the same prophet, who's been going around the countryside proclaiming hard sayings? Such as taking up one's cross, having no place to lay your head, giving away all your possessions, and the like. Choosing martyrdom and a vagrant lifestyle while renouncing closest attachments of money and relatives hardly seems easy or light. As perceived from our human individual perspective, It certainly isn't. You've heard the famous quote of the English writer G.K. Chesterton, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and left untried." Maybe I'll take a pass on the invitation from this man of God. After all, a lot of others heard the invitation. The people of Bethsaida, Tyre, Sidon, Nazareth, Capernaum, and Jerusalem all heard it. And the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priest, and the Romans heard it too. Few budged. So why should I? The last I heard, he only had 12 disciples. And yet, the world is a hard place to find solace. If I wait for my neighbor's heart to soften, my burden will likely never be eased. And I do so want to lay it down. Given the tears I see in eyes that pass by, I know that others have heavy burdens too, and they want to lay them down. But how? When? Perhaps I should have a talk with this rabbi from Galilee. His eyes search me out. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. If you love me, feed my sheep. I am the good shepherd. I came to serve, not to be served. If you would follow me, go and do likewise. A disciple is not above his master. Lose your life for my sake. My mind recoils. My heart rejoices. His words say to me, "Read, there are at least two kinds of burdens. The world's burden is a deadly concoction of endless, famished self-craving for power, wealth, celebrity, beauty, youth, vigor, intelligence. The perpetual burden of never having enough, never quite making the grade with those more gifted. It is the self-centered yoke of servitude. Come, stay with me. Accept my loving yoke. I do not promise to take away all burdens, only those that corrupt and crush the spirit. Replacing the world's heavy burden with the happy weight of loving service. And remember, I will never leave you comfortless. Read, the highest virtues, love, compassion, truth, those that ennoble life, all involve relationships with others. All involve stepping away from self and into the heart and mind of another. It is risky, but transforming. It is sacrificial, like a mother's love, but life-giving. I put before you a choice. Serve the famished self leading to death, or serve a beloved another leading to new life. Choose a beloved other, my son, as I have chose you. Amen and amen.